call the meeting to order. All right, discussion of any items not on the agenda. All right. How are we feeling about the July 10 meeting minutes?
One little adjustment to Julie's, since I'm sitting in for her. I think it just has the dashes instead of the check mark on the last meeting. But that's the only thing I saw on page 4.
Oh, her attendance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve.
All right, second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Yay.
Aye.
Okay. Oh, Scott, you will have to, when it's a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
That's on you.
That is, okay, all right.
I've gotten those instructions.
Okay, great.
Good.
I'm so glad, thank you. All right. All right, we get to consider the Southeast Middle School Longfellow Tunnel Painting Project.
She's got them up there too, but I have them here. And if I pass these around, then you guys would be able to see what the students wrote. I didn't bring them with me this year because they continuously get freaked out by this setup. But should I pass these around?
Sure.
So they don't have anything written on there. But these are 7th and 8th graders that designed those, and the names on them are the person that designed it. This year, I actually gave them a subject matter. They had to pick a community that they were making the image to represent. And I said it could be any community that they wanted, but it had to be clear what they were getting at from the imagery. And we're doing... there's 6 this year, so I haven't quite decided if we're gonna do like this one that's on the screen and then the heart one that's the second one down on the 2 outside pieces, because that would be, you know, with the triangle shape, that would be pretty nice. And then the other 4 would be divided up 2 on each side. That's probably the way that we'll go with it this year. The number 4 one, the rainbow one, that one, she wasn't quite finished when I photographed it, but that splotch, this on the left-hand side is going to be, finished. it's going to be a different color. I think the rest of it is all there. Do you guys have any questions at all for me?
I'm always curious about, I guess I would call it process, but what made you decide to pick a theme this year? I'm just curious. Like, I'm always excited about you all coming in.
In the past, I've said you could make it about whatever you want, no licensed characters, copyrighted stuff, all of that. And that hurts some kids that can't think of ideas. And so giving them, like, a constraint, like I do for every other assignment, helps. And so it helped this year. There were more projects that actually had meaning to it. I was getting a lot of abstractly painted in backgrounds, really.
These look great.
I know. Yeah, I like the variety, even though it's one topic. There's a nice variety.
Yeah, the island floating one, the number 5 one, is going to be the hardest with spray paint. So I think we will actually break out the paint and brushes that I bring every year and we never use, just because of the details and things that are there. But and number 6 actually got to go on the trip last year, but her work wasn't picked last year, but she happened to be in the right quarter of the class. So do you guys have any other questions? This is side note. This is Emily. There's 2 art teachers at Southeast now, and she's the other one. And some of you guys are new too. Could you tell both of us, I guess, who you are. I've worked with Nina before.
I'm just glad that you'll have some help. Because this is going to be...
Oh, she doesn't
thing.
Get to go on the mural with me.
I don't get to do the mural with her, but I'm a public artist yes. as well. And so I wanted to meet everyone. Can you guys come up with me? Yeah.
Sure. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Leslie Feener. I'm with the Office of Community Engagement at the University of Iowa.
And I'm Anita Jung. I'm in the Studio Division of the School of Art, Art History, and Design.
I'm Andrea Truitt. I am the Director of Engagement at Summer of the Arts.
Rachel Kinker. I'm an at-large member, but a former art teacher.
Steph Brunia. I'm a local artist. I'm a photographer.
I'm Tyler Barrett. I'm Superintendent of Parks and Forestry, and I'm sitting in today for Julie Seidel Johnson, who's usually here as our Parks and Rec Director.
I'm Scott Silvers. I'm the Assistant City Engineer here at the city, and I'm sitting in for the Public Works Director, Ron Konecki.
I'm Nate Sullivan. I'm a local theater artist.
And then do you want to share about your painting date? It's September 11th, is that right?
Yeah. And you got a supporter party?
September. Yes, we've got it all prepped and primed. And
The cops have been told?
We will make sure okay. that the police are aware.
It's a good story, but I don't want us to have it again.
Well, thank you, yeah.
Thank you.
We've got one more up here for you.
Oh,
that was coming through.
Did you want to go to the next item, Andrea?
No. Sorry about that. All right, item 5, local option sales tax presentation by the city manager's office. Welcome.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me today and for engaging us in this topic of local option sales tax. My name is Jeff Fruin. For those of you that I haven't met, I'm the city manager here. And thank you for serving on our Public Art Advisory Commission. Really appreciate the work that you do, and it brings a lot of joy to many throughout Iowa City. I was asked to come and share a little bit about the local option sales tax that is going to be on the November 4th ballot here in Iowa City, along with the cities of Coralville and North Liberty. And I'm going to run through quite a bit of material. I'm going to try to do so fairly quickly. And please interrupt me if you've got questions. We don't have to be very formal and wait till the end. But I may gloss over things that you want to dive deeper into, and that's completely okay. So, one, the idea of the local option sales tax isn't new. The news and media or discussions in the community may have picked up recently, but this is actually something that has been on the City Council's radar for several years. The strategic plan that was adopted in December of 2022 specifically mentioned an action item that said that the city's going to need to consider local option sales tax. And at that time, the discussion with the City Council was really, they have an ambitious strategic plan. They wanted to do a lot, and we recognized that there were existing revenue constraints that wouldn't allow us to do everything that they wanted. So a local option sales tax was something they wanted to signal to the community that they were going to study. Since that time, we've had a little bit of alternative motivation for pursuing it as well, and that's some financial headwinds. And we've had a couple of rounds of property tax reforms at the state. We're probably going to have one more round of property tax reform. Property tax for the city is about two-thirds of the revenue that we receive to run the day-to-day services of the city, absent the utilities that have a fee associated with them. So when there is reform and there's efforts to reduce reliance on property tax revenue, we naturally have to look to other sources to help fill the gaps. As we can all appreciate, costs certainly are not going down in terms of the living expenses or service delivery expenses. We've also just seen our property base not grow at the same rate that it had been pre-COVID. We just haven't fully recovered, and property tax reform also impacts the rate at which those property taxes grow. So those are the motivations. So let's talk about what is a sales tax. What is a local option sales tax? That is, so across the entire state, there's a 6% sales tax. That is all those funds go to the state of Iowa for their own budgetary needs. And for decades, the state has allowed local governments to enact a 1% sales tax on top of that. So we can go to 7% if we would like. That does require a vote of the public, which is what will happen on November 4th. a couple of things about the local option sales tax. One, the majority of cities in Iowa have it. 93% of cities already have lost, so we are in the minority along with our neighbors in Coralville and North Liberty and not having a local option sales tax. If you're shopping in Cedar Rapids or the Quad Cities, most other cities in Iowa, you're paying 7%. Sales tax is a regressive tax, meaning that it is more significant for those that have lower earnings. But there are exemptions that the state has made over time and continues to make it less regressive. So, for example, your groceries you're not charged a sales tax on your groceries. Healthcare, you see some examples here, gasoline, things like that are considered daily living expenses. Many of our daily living expenses are exempt from that sales tax. What is sales? What is the sales environment here in Iowa City? This is a line graph going all the way back to 2000 that shows real annual taxable sales in Iowa City. Based on this, we would estimate that we're probably going to see $8 to $10 million in revenue should the voters approve this. So it's a very significant revenue source should we choose to use that as a community. And it's also important to note that a lot of spending in this community happens from visitors. We're fortunate enough to have the university here, which brings in a lot of visitors, whether it's a football game or a event at Hancher, or just parents visiting students. We have a lot of spending from outside. Those coming in from outside the community do use our services, and this is one way to capture some contribution from those visitors. Our sales is fairly stagnant. You can see that there was a decline with the 2008-2009 recession, and that Iowa City and many other cities did not completely recover from that decline. So it is a fairly flat revenue source. We don't expect it to grow at a constant rate, and that is going to really impact how we use those funds going forward. Local option sales tax is not new to Iowa City. So we actually passed it for 4 years after the flood, and it really enabled us to accelerate our flood recovery. In that four-year period, we collected about $34 million, and we focused all of that effort on flood recovery. So the Gateway Project, as we called it, that was the raising of Dubuque Street, kind of in front of Mayflower, the entrance to our community there, and the construction of the Park Road Bridge was partly funded by LOST. We also had, at the time of the flood, we had two sewer plants. If you can kind of think back to that area behind Big Grove, that is now Riverfront Crossings Park, that used to be a wastewater plant that flooded. These funds helped us relocate that sewer capacity to our south plant, which is by the Kicker soccer field, if you're familiar with that area of town, and transform the old sewer plant into a beautiful new park amenity. So the point here is that it is a significant amount of funding, and it can really unlock some major projects that are otherwise very difficult for us to fund. There was an attempt after that 4 years expired to get approval from the voters, and we did not meet that threshold, so we have not had a local option sales tax since 2013. This is a lot of numbers, but I just want to give you some idea of the other cities that use this. So there's only one other city that is more than 50,000 that doesn't have a local option sales tax. That's Ankeny, Iowa. Here are all the others, and you can see how much it generates for them under that fiscal year 24 revenue. So anywhere from $12 million to about $60 million in Des Moines. and every city uses it a little bit differently, and I'm going to get into how the city council is proposing to the voters that we use it. Lost is not completely foreign here in Johnson County. A lot of the smaller communities have Lost. So if you are shopping in any of these communities on the screen, you will be paying 7% already in those communities. So the city council had a number of conversations this past year on how to use Lost, and this is the split, and we'll kind of go through each of these sections of the pie a little bit. They also decided not to propose a sunset. So this would be a tax that would exist in perpetuity. Just as the voters can approve it, the voters can also undo the tax. So at any point in time in the future, if the voters are unhappy with that tax or how the city is spending it, there's a petition process to put it back on the ballot, and it can be removed by the voters. So we'll go through each of these pieces. 50% for property tax relief. It's important to note that this is a requirement. The state now requires that 50% of the funds be captured for property tax relief. This can be done in two ways. We can do a reduction in your property taxes, or we can do what we're kind of calling property tax avoidance. So if we have projects that would have added to your property tax bill but can now be paid for Lost, we can avoid raising your taxes with those Lost dollars. And that's just going to be an annual decision the city council has to make, is how much to reduce that property tax rate versus to do a little bit more with those funds, whether it's more infrastructure or more affordable housing or the other uses that we'll cover here. 25% for affordable housing. It's pretty self-explanatory, but this would be a significant stream of revenue to fund a lot of the city council's housing priorities. That could be public housing that the city owns and operates. It can also be partnerships with other nonprofits or even for-profit entities, as long as it is benefiting households with low incomes. But it's a significant need in Iowa City, and it's a growing need in Iowa City. The council recognized that property taxes alone are not keeping up with the housing need here. So 25%, which would again be probably about $2.5 million, would greatly accelerate our ability to increase housing for those most in need. 10%, or what we would estimate about $1 million per year, would supplement our public streets, parks, and facilities projects. So this could be anything from roads to bridges to parks to trails to public buildings, libraries, senior center, rec centers. All of those things would be eligible under this 10% allocation. And then lastly, 15% for community partnerships. The council really recognizes that a lot of what makes this community great is the partnerships that we have. So this can be partnerships with social service agencies, and this could be partnerships with arts and culture agencies. It could be really partnerships with the school district, with other governmental entities, but a lot of what we do in this community depends on people outside of City Hall here. So kind of doubling down on that, we can do more together. Let's try to unlock some of those community benefits through partnerships. This one probably has the most flexibility over time in terms of the types of projects that could be funded. And again, all of these things would be, because this tax is in perpetuity, the council didn't really need to articulate exactly how it was going to be spent. It's kind of unlike the flood recovery piece. When we had that for 4 years, we knew exactly how we were going to use those dollars. In this case, it's more of a tool that's going to allow for that decision making to take place on an annual basis. So the timeline, we're already through the ballot language development, and it's going to be on the ballot for November 4th. So if the voters give us that authority, then the tax collection will start July 1st of next year. So there is a little bit of a delay in the implementation there. And I'm happy to tackle any questions that you have. If I went through something too fast or got questions, happy to talk.
I have a
question on the social services and arts and culture kind of piece of it. I know you said that it's flexible in terms of project. There are a lot of different nonprofits, a lot of different organizations and agencies. Do you see this as the equivalent I have that's coming to mind is like a granting process for that? Okay.
It could be, or it could be a contract for service. And I'll just give an example of existing examples, so not to suggest that this is how the funds would be allocated, but we do granting processes. So on the arts and culture side, annually we have welcomed grants, operating grants for Film Scene, Englert, Riverside Theater, City of Literature, and Summer of the Arts, and others. Those partnerships have largely been stagnant in terms of the city's support for those. So as property taxes have become more challenging for us, we've really flattened support. But those organizations have faced increased costs too. So we haven't kept up in meeting those needs. The council could choose to increase those existing grant programs to supplement those organizations, and or perhaps bring in new organizations to that mix. A different example under community partnerships could be a specific kind of transactional type of relationship. So for example, we partner with the Shelter House to operate a winter shelter. And we pay a specific amount for that shelter service. We contribute a certain amount for that shelter service. There's others that pay into that as well. And it's a defined thing that we're getting. We're getting that shelter service for a defined period of time. So it could be either one of those things. Could be grants, or it could be something that the city council decides that this is something that's important for the community. Let's go find the right fit and create a partnership.
Thank you.
Jeff, how many years after the tax is collected can it be in the pot before it has to be allocated to a project or spent?
Yeah, it's a good question. We don't have to spend the dollars right away. So you could, like on the infrastructure side of things, for example, is probably where it might come up. Let's say we had a $3 million project that we really wanted to do and only wanted to use loss to fund it. We could bank that $1 million, that 10% for 3 years, and then pursue that project. For some projects, you can also, for particularly with the infrastructure, you can also borrow against your lost revenue. So we could borrow $10 million today, and as a repayment, promise the lost for X number of years to repay that going forward. So there is some flexibility in the timing there. Well, I appreciate your invitation to talk about it. If outside of this meeting, if you're involved with other organizations that are interested in this topic, the city's role is simply to educate. So we're happy to provide educational information or to come present to other groups as well. So feel free to reach out to either Rachel or myself directly, and we'll be happy to accommodate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 6, staff updates.
Okay, I have a lot of staff updates. So on this last presentation, before we move on, I just wanted, similar to the presentation we had on the Arts Alliance feasibility study, you know, we're often involved in those conversations about what's happening in the broader arts ecosystem and wondering how, you know, our scope of public art fits into that. So I wanted you to be informed on some of those other efforts that are happening. And as Jeff mentioned, if you have other questions or ideas, whether in your capacity for this role on the committee or other roles, just let me know. Okay, moving on to staff updates. So we have signed an agreement with the Midwest Arts Conservation Center for the restoration and training of the bronze statues. So that will include all of those that are located within the downtown, as well as the North Side Marketplace sculptures. So while they will not perform the maintenance on every piece, they will do a large enough sample that they can, you know, show us how it's done, train our staff adequately, and then we can complete the project. We next step would be to determine what scheduling will look like, and they haven't identified whether that's happening in the fall or spring. So once I find that out, I just have to loop up with Ron and Julie's staff and perhaps transportation services as well, and then we'll get that scheduled. That project cost came out to $18,000. So as you remember, we allocated 20 initially towards restoration projects for fiscal year 2026. So we already used up a significant portion of that, but we have the opportunity fund as well. I'll just keep going down the list. If anyone has questions or comments as I go along, just interrupt me. I've also been working with Public Works on getting our public artworks entered into our asset management software, which is called Cartograph. So this is, it may not sound very exciting, but it is. It means that our artworks no longer have to live in just an Excel spreadsheet. They can live in this more interactive software where we can better track the life cycle, any costs associated with it, maintenance, work orders, and then we can enter those maintenance work orders through that software as well to help it work more efficiently through the staff and make sure it's getting done annually or whenever, however often we need that to happen. So we're working through that right now. I was working with the communications office, and we developed a social media and content calendar, at least for the next 6 months to start, and then we'll build beyond that. But we really were focused on trying to reactivate our current public artworks and just re-engage the community. That was in our strategic plan, so this felt like a low-hanging fruit project to begin with. So the first Wednesday of every month will be our public art day on social media, on the city's social media, so keep your eye out for the fun things that we'll have posted. There were some really good stats from our first one. So it went out on August 20th, and it was a really close-up image of Dorothy, and it asked the community to guess what public artwork it was, and then they posted that answer the following week. So that post received 9,317 views on Facebook, whereas the average for city Facebook posts is only 3,000. So it was the 10th most viewed post out of 60 posts we've had in the last 4 weeks.
Wow, exciting.
And similarly on Instagram, it had about 5,000 views, and the average views are about 2,000. So it was the 7th most viewed post on Instagram. So we got lots of engagement, and it's good for our public art program, I think. If you have ideas, please funnel them my way. For the next meeting, I've had some really good conversations with the Senior Center about using and reactivating some of their space for indoor exhibition and gallery space. So I think it's going to be kind of an exciting idea, so I hope to bring that to you in October. And then also in October, I thought it would be a good time to start talking about the public art matching grant. We usually release those in January, but because of the different focuses that our strategic plan has identified, I want to get it to you early enough to start thinking about, are there bigger changes or shifts in focus that we want to make to the grant program this year. So as you might have seen in the strategic plan progress report in your agenda packet, I have a really informal survey to go out to recent grant awardees to just get some general feedback on, you know, what works well, what doesn't work well, what would you need, so that can help inform the conversation along with our strategic plan. So that's most of my updates, and then I'll just remind you that tonight the bike library is having their ribbon cutting for their big campaign kickoff. So that begins at 4:30, and at 5:30 we get to play a part in it, which is that our public art matching grant helped install a new mural there. So it will be revealed at 5:30. I'll be there. I know a couple of you will be, and I hope to see more of you. Any questions?
Lots of exciting things. So I'm going to move down the table here if anybody has staff updates.
My only thing is we have the tunnel, mostly prepped at Longfellow for what you saw the students' work earlier. So we did a full power wash and priming this time. So a few are a little bit left to paint this weekend, but it's on the list to get the rest of that done and all nice blank canvas for them to start.
Thank you.
Nice. It's a lot of work, so thank you to your staff.
Yeah. Old or new business? All right, so I'm going to pass it down the table there. For
motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.